Number one, my name is Ed. My name is not Richard. Number two, well, y'all know that. Number three, Richard is the only person in this church who is happy I'm here. I know that. So that's out of the way. We're all happy that you're happy, but you know. And then Richard, I'm not saying he did it on purpose, but he led me to believe that there would be nobody here today. That, you know, everybody's out of town, no pressure. And my son's last words to me as I looked for words of encouragement when I left the house today was, "Don't blow it." So there you go. And last but not least, I'll say one other thing, and I'll get to the scripture in a moment. Richard also suggested to me that if I had any suggestions to give to Chris Bartman and company, to let them know. That is like giving Michelangelo tips on how to paint. I'm going to tell these guys what to say. Are you kidding me? But anyway, it is a joy to be here. It is really a joy to be here. To be in this pulpit, two of my heroes, I have an older hero and a younger hero. And I don't have many heroes. Older heroes, Calvin Thielman, who I wouldn't be in the ministry without him. And my younger hero is Richard White. And so to be here in between those two goalposts is, it feels really, really good. And it feels like the hand of the Lord is on me and I'm going with it. This morning I'd like to take a look at some words that we kind of overlook, which is crazy, in Scripture. I mean, these words are dripping with excitement, with hope, with joy, reasons to sing, reasons for Presbyterians to get in the middle aisle and start dancing, at least inside your head. These are great words, but we skip over them. You know how I'm going to get to them in a minute, but these are words that we skip over. It's like you throw a rock or, you know, a good skinny flat rock on a lake. And you go, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo-choo, bloop. And everybody's waiting for the bloop, and you count to how many to your bloop. Don't skip over the words ever again that I'm going to be reading today from Scripture, because they're just dripping with great stuff. Reading from Jude. Oh, by the way, some of my notes I have a New American Standard. I gave them the English, English Standard version, so just go with me. I have no idea what I'm going to be reading today. But Jude verses 1 and 2. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called, beloved in God the Father, and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Get ready. Here we go. I know to whom I speak. I am speaking to a building full of dignitaries. And I mean that. The angels know. Angels know that I'm speaking to a room full of dignitaries, because you are known as the called. And I'm addressing you just like Jude addressed his audience. You are the called. It is a phenomenon. What does it mean to be the called? You are the called. What it means is that God the Father has not only given and sent his only begotten Son to save your soul, and Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has called you by name, but it's an out and in. It's an out and in call. I think in California they have the In-N-Out Burger, something like that. Well, this is the out and in call, because Jesus has called you out of darkness into his glorious light. Jesus has called you to come forth out of the tomb of Satan and evil and death and hopelessness, called you out of the tomb into eternal life. This is what Christmas is all about. Jesus called you to receive him as your Lord and Savior. As he is your Lord and Savior. He has called you to become children of God. I am a child of God. I am excited that I am a child of God. John 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I have been called, you have been called out of darkness and death into light and life. And you're going to be forever known as the called. I'm telling you, when two angels, my imagination, when two angels are communicating, talking, and they see you walk by, I can just imagine one angel whispering to the other angel, there goes one. There goes one of the called. You are a dignitary in heaven. You're dignitaries because God made you a dignitary. Oh, Christian folks, rejoice. Now, as Richard indicated in his prayer, we're here today. We're here today to come and worship the Lord. And those of us who have once been in the tomb, once been in the tomb and came out, and once but lived in the darkness and came out because we heard our name called and we responded. That's why we're here, to build one another up and to worship God together. However, and that's my focus. My focus is on you dignitaries. That's what I've been told to do today by the Lord. That's what we're gathered together to worship him. However, surely there's somebody here today who wandered in, don't ask me how, you know how you got here, and you're still living in the tomb. You're still living in the darkness. I'm going to give you the opportunity to listen, not to me, but listen to the Holy Spirit of God speaking to your heart today. You can live forever and ever in darkness and death, or you can live forever and ever in light and life. In the name of Jesus Christ, I offer you eternal life today. Take it or leave it. Deal or no deal. Now back to our regularly scheduled program. People of Christ Community Church, dignitaries, is this good news or what? You're the called. But not only are you the called, not only are you known as the called, but you're known as the beloved. These are words from Jude that we skip over. Don't skip them. You are the beloved of God. It's one thing to say, and it sounds cute. I mean, it's heavy, it's profound, it's true, it's not trite, but it sounds cute. God loves you. But somehow the impact of saying you are the beloved of God hits you. Because think about when Jesus was baptized. Can you imagine? You don't have to imagine. It happened. A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You want to know something? You are his beloved son. You are his beloved daughters in whom he is well pleased. God is well pleased with you because when he looks at you, he looks at his son. You are in Christ. You are in great shape. You are beloved, beloved of God. There goes one of the beloved of God. And it's you. It's you. Praise the Lord. It's you. One of the called, one of the beloved. You're also the kept. Called, beloved, kept of God. How we skip over that word? You're kept by and kept for Jesus Christ. You want to talk about a well-kept person? Boy, that's a well-kept person. You are the most well-kept person in the universe. We who were once dead in our trespasses and sins, we who were once dead in our trespasses and sins and made alive in Christ, we who were once dead in our trespasses and sins and made alive in Christ are now seated with Christ in the heavenlies, in Christ, with Christ. We who were once dead and made alive in Christ have been set apart by his love. And we are now being kept, preserved, protected, guarded, watched over by and for Jesus Christ himself. Do you know how precious you are to God? You are precious to God. John 10, 20, 27 through 30. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them. Forgive me, I'm on a different version. And they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Jesus said, I and the Father are one. Neither life nor death nor principalities nor powers nor anything created, anything, anybody, anywhere can or will separate you from the love of God. You are precious to God. This is what we're talking about. Merry Christmas. Jesus called Lazarus to come. Lazarus, come forth. Jesus called you to come forth. I mean, I can go names here. I'm tempted to, but you know, I mean, just start calling out names. I'll pick on Mark because I like Mark. Mark, once upon a time, heard his name and the command and the invitation was to come forth. Mark, come forth. And Mark chose not to stay in the tomb, not to stay in the darkness. He came forth into the glorious light of Jesus Christ, into eternal life. I was in New York City. I heard it. Jesus spoke to me in a New York accent. It was beautiful. He said, come on, man, come forth. And I said, I'm coming. I'm coming. The world, the flesh, and the devil will howl in protest. Ain't nothing they can do about it. The world and the flesh and the devil will be screaming for your very soul, and they can't have it because you are kept. You are kept, you're preserved, you're protected, you are guarded, you are watched over by and for Jesus Christ himself. You are forever known as, there goes one. One of the kept. Then there's a matter of verse 2 of Jude. We just did, and here comes, how, we skip over this to try to get to the bloop. This is the bloop. Verse 2 of Jude, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Now, let's try to get hold of this thing about mercy, peace, and love. I'm gonna, as Michael Card says, I'm gonna try to use my biblical imagination to how I could picture this. Where mercy, peace, and love come into effect for me. You know, Richard prayed for those who, but we lost some dear, dear people. Someday you're gonna lose me. And And, you know, I tell my, someday I'm going to be out of here. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking forward to it. And it's not because I got this color hair. I've been looking forward to it for a long time. But to illustrate the beauty of mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, let me talk about three exoduses. You know, the exodus. Three exoduses. I call them the exodi. Is the plural of exodus, exodi. Three exoduses. The first exodus we all know about. Okay, here it come. You know, the God sets the people free from Egypt, from slavery. And they get going, and there's a horde of them. And they come up against the Red Sea, and like they say, what's the plan, Moses? Well, the Lord's going to show me as we go along. That's the plan, Moses? And then all of a sudden, there's a rumble in the jungle back there, and you know what's coming on, or a rumble in the desert. And here come the Pharaoh changes his mind. And he's going to cut these people to pieces. What's the plan, Moses? He is the plan. And God, you know, but I'm going to do it. I'm going to, you know, demonstrate it. I'm a demonstrative kind of guy. God takes, all right, so you got an obstacle, and you got an obstacle. You got the Red Sea, and you got, and you, the Red Sea will kill you, or the Egyptians will kill you. Something or somebody's gonna kill you here. There's no way out. Wrong. God takes that sea, as only God can do, and separates one here and one there. Oh, by the way, do you think the ground might be a little muddy? I don't know, in my imagination, he blows. And it's dry land. And the horde goes across. And here come the horses and the riders and the chariots and the weapons. And they say, if they can get across, we can get across. Wrong. And they try to go across the land that was meant only for those that God called. And they try to horn in. And the water came crashing down on them. And you know, Miriam on the other side, I can only imagine, imagine how Chris would have loved to have led those people in singing. So you want to talk about a crowd leading them in singing about the horse and the rider thrown into the sea. Because that was something to rejoice about. You're about to get sliced to pieces, and now the horse and the rider was thrown into the sea. That was Exodus number one. Exodus number two. Not enough people know about Exodus number two. Oh, look, I found my notes for the that may match the scripture verses. We'll try to do that. Exodus number two is when, you know, Exodus means leaving, departure. That's what it means. It's, you know, really easy. The departure, the leaving. Exodus number two that I want to refer to is when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. We call it the Mount of Transfiguration. When there was a metamorphosis with Jesus, kind of went womp womp. Like he started going into his glory, womp womp. He was human. All of a sudden, everything was shining, everything was bright. Nope, you couldn't even look at it. And then there's Elijah, and then there's Moses, womp womp. And it's that Mount of Transfiguration, and you ever wonder what they were talking about? They're just hanging out talking. Womp, womp. Luke, verse 9, 30 and 31, tells us, and behold, two men were talking with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his departure, his exodus, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now, excuse me, folks, you think that was an accomplishment that happened at Jerusalem? You bet it was. It was the greatest accomplishment for human beings of all time and beyond. Because why is it an accomplishment? Well, his departure, his exodus, the reason he was born to save, the reason he went there was to accomplish an exodus. He destroyed Satan's kingdom. He took a host of captives. He separated death and evil. He, in the second Exodus, took death and pushed it over here and took evil and pushed it over there and went, and he went first and provided dry spiritual land for us to follow, the hordes. How many? I don't know, but you're amongst them. And when we die, death can scream to hold us. And when we die, evil can scream to destroy us, but they will not be able to touch us. Because Jesus Christ has defeated death. Because Jesus Christ has defeated Satan. Because Jesus Christ has defeated evil. And death and Satan and evil will be forever known as the defeated, the vanquished, the losers. And then Exodus number 3. And that's again regarding Richard's prayer. And those who have gone before us and have left this earth and left our presence, and those who are literally the dearly departed that we so miss. And it was ugly. The leaving was ugly, almost always ugly. But once the leaving is accomplished, the sight that we can't see is the most beautiful sight in beyond the universe. And 1 Corinthians 15, verses 54 through 57 captures it, because this is why I'm looking forward to dying. Not the process, but the moment. Put that one behind. I can't wait for the next step. When the perishable, I better get the right version here. When the perishable puts on the imperishable and the mortal puts on immortality, then shall come to pass the saying that is written. And you've got to sing this. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And when I die, and I will die unless he comes back first. I hope somebody misses me over here. And when I die, this is my biblical imagination. This is how I imagine it. Jesus will greet me. As I go across that dry spiritual land, he'll greet me. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say something like this. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Mercy, undeserved, kind, compassionate treatment of an enemy. Peace. No enmity, no anxiety, no hostility, no animosity. Peace. Love. Intense, affectionate. God is love. Love. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, Ed. By what, Lord? What multiplication table are you going to use? I know the 2x table. Oh, here we go. 2 times 2 is 4. 2 times 2 is 8. 16, 32, 64. 128, 256, 512. I stopped there. I know the 2x table, Lord. What are you going to multiply your mercy, peace, and love by? By God. By infinity, by forever, by God. Who is doing the multiplying? God. What is he multiplying it by? God. And our dearly departed ones heard mercy, peace, and love in some way be multiplied to you by God. Oh, take heart. Oh, take comfort. Oh, look forward. Now, how does mercy, love, how does sound to you now? Okay, one more illustration. I asked you to give the God-given, to use your God-given imagination to feel the depth of the words that we skip over. But I'm going to go do something that's right from Scripture, because I asked this question. It's a biblical question. Now, by the way, for those of you who are wondering, I'm going to use a Lloyd Davis illustration. And I can't go there, but I always use a Lloyd Davis illustration. The one time I didn't, when everybody shook my hand back there, all I heard was, why didn't you use a Lloyd Davis illustration? So I'm not going through that again, but I have Lloyd's permission. Lloyd is going to die in this illustration. Apparently, I've used this illustration before, because I say a lot of things spontaneously. I said, Lloyd, I have a vague memory of using this illustration. Did I ever kill you here at the pulpit? He said, yes, you did once. And I said, he said, but for the good of the congregation, I'm willing to die twice. So here, so it's coming up soon, but not quite yet. Do you know anything? Now, this is real. Do you have any idea? Oh, this is a real question. It's rhetorical only in the sense that I don't want you shouting out. But do you have any idea what your first meeting with God the Father is going to be like? I do. I've got a clue. And it's gonna be with pomp and circumstance. It's gonna be a ceremony. It's gonna be, I'm going to be ceremoniously, as will you. I will be, why do I have the joy of the Lord? Why am I like this up here? This is why. Because I get this. I'm going to be ceremoniously presented to God the Father by Jesus Christ. I've got this clue. Woohoo. Slide, Colossians 1, verses 21 through 22. And you who were once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death in order to present you, hear the words, holy, blameless, and beyond reproach before him. Hello, holy, blameless, beyond reproach, above reproach before him. Now think about that. If I was in New York and I was preaching right now, I might say, I would never do it in the South because, it doesn't play in the South. But if I was up North, I might say, you dirtbags, you. You who were formerly alienated from God. You who were formerly hostile in your mind toward God. You who were formerly engaged in evil deeds against God, alienated from God, hostile toward God, and engaged in evil deeds against God. You who were formerly dead in your trespasses and sins. You who formerly had no hope. The Red Sea, the Egyptians, no hope. Death, evil, no hope. Jesus, God, hope.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You have now been reconciled to God. You have now been reconciled to God through his Son. You have now been reconciled to God through the death of the Lamb of God, and you will be presented to God the Father by his Son, his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ. And what a glorious presentation it will be. And so this is my clue, and I'm using, here's Lloyd. Lloyd just died again. Sorry, Lloyd, wherever you are, you died again. Lloyd died again, and we're all moaning Lloyd's death. By the way, I will moan and mourn Lloyd's death if he goes first. Lloyd died. He's going across. He's going across the dry land. He meets Jesus, and there's God the Father. Jesus welcomes him with the mercy, peace, and love be multiplied. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you, Lloyd Davis. And put in your name. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. Be multiplied to you. Come, I want to present you to my Father, your God and my God. Father, you sent me into the world to be born in a manger, to live a sinless life, to be crucified, to die, to be raised from the dead of my own power because no one takes it from me. I have had authority to lay it down. I had authority to take it up again. That charge I received from you, Father. You sent me and I ascended it to heaven. And Lord, I sit at your Father, I sit at your right hand, and here he is. Here he is. Father, may I present to you Lloyd Davis. Father Lloyd is holy. Father Lloyd is blameless. Father Lloyd is above and beyond reproach. Father, this is Lloyd. Lloyd, I present you to my Father. It's gonna happen. It's gonna happen. I'm gonna ask you a question. Excuse me, dignitaries. Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here who is choosing to live in the tomb? Is there anybody here who prefers darkness over light? Is there anybody here, by your non-decision to follow Jesus Christ, is literally choosing death over life? Is there anybody here? Is there anybody here who was called out of the tomb and foolishly, crazily, stupidly went back in? Is there anybody here who lived in the light and you really messed up and you slithered back into the darkness? Don't hear my voice. Hear the voice of the Holy Spirit of God. You are forgiven your sins. Believe in me. I'm speaking for Jesus. I have the authority to do so. Believe in me, and your sins are forgiven. Is there anybody here who wants to be a dignitary? I offer you eternal life in the name of Jesus Christ. Fellow heirs of the kingdom of God, dignitaries, I not only wish you a Merry Christmas, but on behalf of God Almighty and Jesus Christ himself, through the leading of God's Holy Spirit and his Holy Word, I charge you to rejoice and praise the Lord. You are the people of God. Let's do that last slide. You are the people of God. Bloop. You are the people of God, forever known as the called of God, the beloved of God, and the kept of God. You're the people of God who will forever be known as those who have been given the mercy of God, the peace of God, and the love of God multiplied by God. For you are the people of God who will forever be known as those who were presented to God by Jesus Christ as holy, beloved, and beyond reproach. I mixed the words up on purpose. Happy Christmas. Merry New Year. Have a great life, rejoicing and praising the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, I don't know what to say after all that. We are a chosen race. We're a royal priesthood. We're a holy nation. We're a people for your own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Once we were not a people, but now we are God's people. Once we had not received mercy, but now we have received mercy. So Lord, it's only right to end with something about from Jude and our prayer. And we pray together, Lord, now to you who is able to keep us from stumbling and to present us blameless before the presence of your glory with great joy, you're going to do it. To you, Lord God, our Savior, to Jesus Christ, our Lord, we give you glory and majesty and authority. Everything we've got is yours, both now and forevermore. Amen.